God bless you. It's Sunday, the 20th of August, 2023, and this evening we're going to take a thought-provoking look into the developmental years of Timothy's life. It's really a feast to look at what we can know about his upbringing. It's really quite a banquet. And we're going to see life lessons of truth that will show us how to cultivate a child's natural desire to choose godliness. We may often think about the verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And we're going to see young Timothy is certainly a noteworthy example of this verse. Dake's Annotated Reference Bible gives this annotation on verse 6. "At the mouth of his path, train up or hedge in a child in the way it should go. And when his responsibility to stay in it comes, he will do so. Give him a complete series of instructions on every step he is to take. Drill him thoroughly on how to perform his duties, how to escape danger, and how to appropriate the blessings of the way. Stamp these lessons deep on his soul and lead him," and of course, this is me interjecting a thought, but lead him means the parents live the lessons in front of the child. That's leading. So lead him back to the Dakes to practice them until they are part of his life and nature. Bathe him in prayer and instill the reverence of God into him, and he shall not depart from it." And I think that helps us really understand this verse a little better. It is a beautiful promise, but we have a terrific responsibility. And there is a lot of insight here to see that parental accountability for training up a child. You know, it involves preparing the child with the Word of God from his or her verse, her birth. In our last teaching, we spent time in 2 Timothy 3:16 taking in the profitability of the God-breathed Word, where every God-breathed Word hidden in our hearts will bring or develop our appetites along in life to prefer righteous living. You know, other lifestyles just won't taste right. And for a child, a peaceful life with God at the center of the home, it is so sweet. It's peaceful. It's comfortable. They're not going to enjoy the turmoil that is in the world. You know, they might even think they'd like to try it. It's noisy. It rattles around. It looks like it might be fun. But you know what? They will really find it horrible. And it is through the testimony of the Apostle Paul where we really gain insight into Timothy's development as a person and into the person that Paul grew to love as his own son. In 2 Timothy 1:5, we'll begin by reading what Paul brought to light in his second letter to Timothy. In 1:5, "When I, Paul, call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, the word "dwelt" has a strong spiritual significance. This sincere faith that had no disguise, it dwelt, it inhabited the hearts and souls of his grandmother and his mother. The pureness and genuineness of their faith influenced not only their lives for the good, but they passed it on to Timothy through their training up of him. Now, Paul is speaking, but let's not forget, Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit. to speak these words. God is giving us this information. And Paul was confident that the faith of Lois and Eunice, both in their words and in their living, in their deeds, came down to Timothy from the training of those two faithful women. You know, so really, they too are noteworthy examples of those who biblically train up their children in the way they should go. We get even more information from Acts 16 in verse 1. Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, this is Luke's record. Luke, of course, recorded Acts. So this is his record of Paul meeting Timothy for the first time. And this verse gives Timothy's name as Timotheus, which according to biblical usage, the name means honoring God. Strong's definition calls it dear to God. And honestly, either way, what a wonderful name for parents to place upon their child as an identity. You know, a child is officially named within the first few days of its life. But, and what a vision Eunice had for her son to name him dear to God or beloved of God, honoring God. There are many such names in the Bible, so rich with godly meanings. And as a child grows to realize that their name has these virtuous meanings, they learn to love their name. They realize their name carries defining attributes that affect their life. And they're kind of proud. Absolutely. I love it when I'm out and about and I meet someone whose name is biblical. Either I notice their name tag or perhaps I ask them what their name is. And I always compliment them that their parents blessed them with such a strong and virtuous name. And you know what? I've yet had one person flinch or be embarrassed by that compliment. Now, we also read in this verse, verse 1, that Timotheus was a disciple. Now, in the Hebrew Names Version Bible, the word for disciple is the Hebrew name Talmid, T-A-L-M-I-D. And this word stresses the relationship that is between a teacher and the student. And really, let's think about it. The disciples of Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. And they relinquished their careers on the spot in order to follow the master and to be with him wherever he was. They were all over the invitation. And, of course, the Talmid in this verse is speaking of Timothy. He was a disciple. And he sought to know what his teacher knew. His teacher was Paul. But his foremost desire was to become like his teacher. That was Timothy. He wanted to become like the Christ that he saw in Apostle Paul's heart of service. Now, that doesn't mean he wanted to say, move over, Paul, I'm taking your place. No. But he wanted to develop in the spiritual strength that Paul demonstrated and that Paul was willing to teach Timothy. Now, next, this verse 1 tells us that Timothy's mother was a Jewess and his father was a Greek. Now, that means her mother Lois would have been a Jewess as well. And Judean mothers were very seriously devoted to God to train up their children in the ways of Jehovah. It was that way in the Old Testament. It was that way in the New. Now, of course, his grandmother and his mother, we don't know much about it, but they obviously got born again somewhere in the early church in that time. Maybe the day of Pentecost. I don't know. It's just not clear. But at any rate, they were very set from their Judean background to train up Timothy in the way that he should go. So we'll look more into putting this together as we move along. It does say Timothy's dad was a Greek. Now, the word doesn't give us insight into the unique circumstances of this mixed marriage. The Greek father could have confessed Christ as well. He would still be from a Greek bloodline. We just don't know. God didn't tell us, and there is no indication that Timothy's father was ever opposed to Eunice naming, teaching, and leading their son Timothy in the ways of Christianity, being born again, growing in Christ. Don't let that "but his father was a Greek" throw you off. The Greek word for "but" does not always oppose that which it follows. It can actually be a transition to something different, which this is. Timothy's mother was a Judean. His father was a Greek. That's what we know. Following through the epistles, we see Paul's references to Timothy and his love for the young man. And he had this special love for this young man because this young man was outstanding. He had been trained up in the way he should go from a baby, from an infant. And in 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul refers to him as his own son in the faith. Timothy stood out. In 2 Timothy 1:2, Paul calls him his dearly beloved son. And at Paul's selection and request, Timothy joined Paul's travels and carried out special missions for him. Paul trusted Timothy's heart, and as a result, he poured his heart into preparing Timothy to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, which is just what Timothy desired more than anything. He loved Paul. Paul was his teacher. And Timothy was humble to the word that Paul shared. And that would include the doctrine, the reproof, the correction. And when you read through the epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy, you will see all of those. But it was to help him mature more and more. So I think we're now ready to begin to build upon the information about Timothy's grandmother and mother. As I mentioned, Judean mothers focused on training up their children. Now these women, they're still Judean bloodline, but they are now sons of daughters of God. So first was the quality of the mother's heart, how they were raised, generation by generation, respecting God and honoring his ways. And with their babies, their every thought, their every action was to acclimatize them to prefer Jehovah over other gods, over the world's offerings. Children were trained to control their thoughts. They were trained to control their bodies. And to and of course, it was through scriptures, through practice, through the parents showing them, living that way, that they learned these. In Alfred Edersheim's book, Sketches of Jewish Social Life, now, of course, this takes us back to the Old Testament. He explains 9 terms depicting the advancing stages of a Judean child's life, from newborn to adulthood. And I mention it just to point out the parents' dedication to prepare for the child-rearing expectations. Boy, you talk about long-term goals. They had little mini-goals. Oh, we're going to train him up to this point. Then they had the second stage. Now we're going to train him or her up to this point. So forth and so on. These mothers reverence God with such a powerful vision and plan for their children. Everything the mother did although it was steeped in love, she was serious about getting the scriptures into her child's heart. Children were with their moms and grandmoms every day. They heard their lessons and they observed them living what they taught. And that's the best way. It's the most fun way to learn, isn't it? Is being with the teacher? Absolutely. Being with the mother, being around the father, receiving their love, hearing their prayers, their instructions, which made them feel safe and secure. You know, the children felt well cared for. The greatest blessing a mother can bestow upon her child is having within herself a godly heart. And how wonderful to be a mother whose personal fulfillment in life is satiated through the godly training of her children. Or a father who partakes and oversees the outings with his children. Mothers and fathers always there with love and doctrine and reproof and correction to complete their instruction in righteousness. Well, this is the way it was with Lois and Eunice and Timothy. But we're talking about mothers, and although not perfect, they spent time in the scriptures, they prayed, they demonstrated the attributes of God, they were meek to instruction and righteousness, and they were bold to live accordingly. The children, even before birth, scientists say, are sensitive to what is going on inside the mother. And then once they're born, they witness her strength and her trust of God day in and day out. They see her face difficult situations. And the faithfulness of their parents becomes fired upon the pages of their heart, almost like a brand. And you know what? All mothers make mistakes in their walks. You know, you get irritated one day. You make a mistake in the way that you present something to your child, or perhaps you hurt someone's feelings. But you know what? Those moments can be utilized to train the children also. Mothers can ask forgiveness of the children. They can express their sorrow that they walked out of line and that their children saw that. Children never forget their parents coming to them with an apology. How I remember my own mom doting over me day by day. She made me feel like I was the entire reason for her drawing breath. She took such loving care for me and my dad, and I watched her feed hobos passing through our town. She would visit and feed the sick. She would take me along to her women's prayer meetings a couple of times a week. She cooked Sunday chicken dinners with all the trimmings for anyone who wanted to come over to our house after church. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And you know what? I ate it Sunday after Sunday. And she always had time to listen to my long-winded jabbering, like I had something important to say. Much to my surprise, later in life, I realized that our family hardly had two nickels to rub together back in those early days. And we were super wealthy in our love for one another. We lacked nothing. And Mom and Dad always had to give. They always had something to share with others, or in some way help folks out with repairs, or just whatever they had the means to do, they were always active to give and to help and to set that example. And then, on top of all that, our church was one of those you get saved by confessing your sins at the altar sort of church. And it was my sweet dad, while I was yet too young to read, who sat me on his knee and talked me through Romans 10, 9 and 10 and led me to salvation. I will never forget that, and I will always be grateful for my parents who put the brand of God upon my heart at such a young age. Now, have I erred in my faith a few times since then? I have. But you know what? The solution is simple. You go and have a long talk with the Father, and you get it going again. You know, I realize that not everyone has been fortunate in that way, and I wish that were not so. You know, we have an enemy that is a deceiver, that's a real trickster, and he wants to carry us off. But however fortunate or unfortunate we are, God is love, God is faithful, and he desires that all be saved and come into the knowledge of his word. So it's never too late in life to begin and build a glorious father-child relationship. God will always honor his word, and he certainly will honor our hearts before him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul warns Timothy of perilous times. He names off the multitude of evil spirits that are on the loose to torment mankind. He speaks of how some will even have that form of godliness, but they will totally reject the power of God. And after that, he encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14. He says, "But continue thou, you continue, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, Timothy had learned from his grandmother, his mother, and Paul. And the word learned includes being instructed and disciplined in the practice of that instruction. So Timothy witnessed the lives of these three very significant people. And Paul's telling him, hey, you continue in the things you've learned and don't forget who taught them. So memory of those special times would continue to assure Timothy throughout the rest of his life of all the things he had been taught. Going on to verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus." And the word used here for child refers to an unborn child, a newborn, an infant, or a babe. So it's even a good thing for an expectant mom to read scriptures aloud to her unborn baby. There's no sin in that. You know, babies are aware. They are aware of that mother. That is their home. The spoken word is the power of God. Also, of course, to continue after their birth, they're not going to understand the words, but as I like to put it, they will grow into them. It's just like them learning how to speak the language we speak. All of a sudden, one day, they start saying a word, a couple of words, because they've listened to us and they've learned to associate. And, you know, it just builds. It mounts up. Reading Proverbs 22:6 again, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This was every mother's promise from God, that when she trained up her child to reverence and honor Jehovah, that when he became of age, he would choose good and blessings for himself. Because really, that's all he ever experientially knew growing up. That was now honoring God was his palate, so to speak. That was the savor in his life. Reading again to I want to just read the Dake's annotation again. At the mouth of his path, train up or hedge in a child in the way it should go. And when his or her responsibility to stay in it comes, he or she will do so. Give him a complete series of instructions on every step he is to take. Drill him thoroughly on how to perform his duties, how to escape danger, and how to appropriate the blessings of the way. Stamp these lessons deep on his soul and lead him to practice them until they are part of his life and nature. Bathe him in prayer and instill the reverence for God into him, and he shall not depart from it. So, this kind of upbringing by his mother and grandmother was young Timothy's reality. These Jewish mothers that got born again in the first century church, they didn't let themselves get squeezed into the mold of the Word's way. They were valiant and bold to claim victory for themselves and their child in training him or her in the way they should go. Young Timothy was trained in the truth. He received the doctrine, the reproof, the correction for his complete instructions in living righteously to glorify God. Not every day is picture perfect as we live in the world. Like his mother and grandmother, moms and dads are just to live honestly before your little ones. And as things come up, talk to them about life. But talk to them through the lens of the Word of God. That's our perspective on what is happening in the world. It's not the perspective of the 5 o'clock news or Yahoo or social media. It's looking at things through the lens of the Word. We keep it clear, we keep it simple, and we keep it accurate. Assure them that they are not a part of this messy world. And the cares of this world are not upon their shoulders. But they need to realize and enjoy that the ministry of reconciliation is in their hearts. They have the Word of reconciliation. And that's the work they've been called to do. So equip them with doctrine, with reproof, with correction, for the complete instruction in righteousness that, according to 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That son, that daughter will mature in Christ, and they will have every resource God has given sons and daughters for their victory. So much love to everyone, and God bless you.